Welcome back to Sports Central. We have a really good football discussion here with Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. But as I literally was just coming back on air, I scrolled through my Facebook page, Donnie, and I just saw you put your post about your dog that passed. And I just want to say that I am so very sorry. Everyone who's ever had a dog pass, you know how tough this is. So before we get into the meat of our football discussion, I do want to tell you, and there's great pictures of the dog Bailey. So my deep condolences to you and your wife and kids.
Yeah, thanks, man. It all happened pretty suddenly yesterday, and it was tough. And I thought, you know, that's gonna be really tough on the kids, and it was emotional for me to think, because I mean they grew up with her, and I realized it was even a lot more tougher on me than I think that it was on the kids, because you know you forget how much a part of your daily life they become. Like I'm typing the story we're gonna probably talk about in a minute, I'm sure, but I'm typing this morning and just thinking, oh, dog would usually be right here sitting next to me, and this morning that wasn't the case. So it was a strange feeling, but you know, at some point you get past the fact that she's not there anymore, and then all dog owners know this, and cat owners too, but you get past the fact that they're not there and just remember all the good things. So I hopefully we'll get to that point sooner rather than later, not just for me, but I think for everybody in the country right now.
Hey, you know what? I sincerely wish you my condolences when my dogs passed in 05 and 06. I remember getting all of the Rainbow Bridge cards and references from people. That stuff helps. I mean, it is traumatic. This is before I had kids. It is a traumatic thing. So my heart really does go out to you and your family, man.
Thank you. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, to have to make that decision, you really wish you'd know what she would want. But you know, it's just always a tough moment in anybody's life when you have a, I mean, not just a pet, but a friend who was facing that kind of thing. You know, you don't want to see anybody like that.
Yeah, I can hear the pain in your voice, man. So,
yeah.
Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. And again, that kind of caught me off because I saw it about 10 seconds before I was going to come back on air, and we were going to talk about football stuff, and now I'm about to tear up and everything. So, all right, Donnie, I laid out all of the framework here a few minutes ago for our listeners with everything going on with the ESPN story. Some of this stuff we've known a little bit of these details through some coverage of the Isaiah Humphries lawsuit over the months. We did find out some new details today, including, you know, really the main headline detail of Humphries claiming that James Franklin told him not to talk to the police after the 2018 fight with Micah Parsons. What do you make of that whole incident, scene, Parsons choking him allegedly, Humphries pulling out a knife, and then being told not to talk to the police?
I mean, it's just all so very sad and unfortunate. And I'm sure you mentioned this, and I'm going to say it. We don't know what happened. This is all allegations. This could all be proven completely false in court. It could be proven completely true. We don't know. But, you know, it's not a look you want to have, that your head coach could even be accused of something like this. And I know that sounds unfair. And I think in my heart of hearts, I think it is unfair to James, but you know, it's a different kind of program right now than it was 10 years ago, and a different kind of world. I'm not sure boys could be boys anymore. And that I'm not sure that plays in society. I think we have to be better than that. And I think Penn State, since 2011, has to be a different kind of place. It has to be above reproach. And to the fact where some of this stuff, I mean, even if you discard everything Humphries says is a lie, which, who knows? I mean, I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. But if you discard everything Humphries says, some of the stuff they concede about the wrestling, some of the shenanigans that go on and they've gone on in the locker room, it's not an above reproach thing. It's something that shouldn't be happening. It should be treated more of a work environment than a playhouse. And it's not something you want to see when you're just coming off a scandal the likes of which college football had never seen before, and to see that you haven't really cleaned up the culture, the attitude, the some of the things that go on allegedly. I don't know. It's a very tough thing to define because we don't know all the facts. But you would hope that you're in a situation where these allegations are just not something that even could remotely be brought up.
But here's the issue, though. We're not going to know the truth in this.
We'll never know the truth.
From what I can gather, it does not necessarily seem that Humphreys has the legal standing maybe for this to continue, or who knows if he even has the wherewithal to want it to. This has gone on for a while. Will this ever see a courtroom? My guess is not. So proving things is one thing. But here's the thing, Donnie, we don't live in that world. We don't live in the world where you really even have to prove things anymore. James Franklin's reputation has been tarnished today severely in the minds of a lot of people who, and I'm not talking Penn State fans here. I'm talking about the rest of the world. The way Penn State fans view a lot of things is very different than the way the rest of the world views Penn State. I think that should be made clear. And if you don't understand that, I mean, that's just the way it's been for a lot of years now. So regardless of whether James Franklin did or did not tell Isaiah Humphreys not to go to the cops, in the court of public opinion, that happened, and they're just going to believe it, and they're going to think bad things about James Franklin, on top of what you mentioned with all these locker room shenanigans and boys being boys, that they're going to think, hey, this, and they're talking about Sandusky in the locker. I mean, how does Penn State allow this kind of thing?
Yeah, the Sandusky stuff. I mean, and that came out in the original, complaint back in January, I guess it was now. And it's just an amazing thing that would still be like a topic of conversation in the locker room. I almost call it a clubhouse, but in the locker room. Look, you're right. The person who would want the truth to come out here is James, because that's the only way his reputation is cleared here is if it comes out that Humphreys is lying. So James would want that out.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if I agree with you, I don't think that you hardly ever get the whole truth on the record, something you could run with in a story. So I doubt we're going to get the whole truth. I doubt we're ever. I mean, at some point, we're just going to get some kind of settlement, or Humphreys is going to drop the whole thing for reasons you just kind of mentioned. And but you're right. I think at this point, it doesn't matter even if the allegations are true. The allegations are now part of the story at Penn State, and that's not necessarily fair, because if the allegations aren't true, then Franklin's reputation shouldn't be sullied. But this is what Penn State is now. And I hate to say that, because that's not fair, because we don't know. But after 2011, after Sandusky, Penn State was under the microscope. Penn State was in the spotlight for this for too long, and people were outraged about it. I mean, there's just a lot of outrage, and there still is. And that's what Penn State is. That maybe not in Pennsylvania, but if you go to, Missouri or Utah or somewhere like that, that's the Penn State reputation. Ask them about Penn State out in Utah. They're going to tell you, first name they're going to mention is Jerry Sandusky. And this is not going to alleviate any of those thoughts and considerations. It just is, I hate that, because this is the kind of society we live in now where, we see it every day now where you can take anything to court, but it doesn't mean it's true. Also doesn't mean it's not. So unless we have a full resolution of this, which I don't think we'll ever get, then the allegation is there. And then at that point, I do think it's Penn State's responsibility moving forward, just like it was in the past, to run a culture, run an operation where you don't get the allegations, where they're just not even possible. And I don't think Penn State's done that to a degree. Even if what Humphreys is saying is completely outlandish, he brought it up, and there are some people who were concerned enough about it to corroborate, maybe not everything, but some of the shenanigans going on.
And one thing that bothers me with this is the whole victim component. Now, look, Isaiah Humphreys, I don't know him. He might be completely honest. He might be completely lying. We don't know. But what happens is when someone stands up and makes accusations like this, all of a sudden someone who's a victim gets victimized again because their character is questioned, their truth, their honesty is questioned. You see all kinds of reports that players on the team are calling this kid, you know, out and saying he lies for no reason and questioning his character. Again, we don't know if that's true or not, but here's what can be true. You can lie a lot and you can be a questionable character and still have something bad happen to you that you're honest about this time. I talked to my son, and I'm sure you've had the conversation about the boy who cried wolf. You know, you want to be honest about things so that when you need to be honest, people believe you. Now, whether or not Isaiah Humphries is being honest about this versus other things, who knows? I just know that just because things that may have happened to the young man that people, you know, he lost trust from his teammates doesn't necessarily mean that some of these other things didn't happen. And I thought after the Sandusky thing, believing victims is something our country really took a long look at. After Me Too, our country really took a long look at believing victims. And I just feel like in this case, Donnie, people are looking at this kid and just dismissing a lot of the things he's saying.
Yeah, I think that's here. I think in Pennsylvania, a lot of people are going to look at, maybe outside of Pittsburgh, but you know, I think a lot of people in Pennsylvania who are Penn State fans are going to look at it and say, well, Humphries is clearly lying. Look at how many people say he's a compulsive liar. Look at it. And look, let's face it, the details of the fight with Parsons is, it doesn't make Humphries look great. That said, outside of Pennsylvania, I think most people are probably going to say, oh, look at that school, that program did to poor Isaiah Humphries. And I don't know if any of that is fair. Here's what it comes down to for me. If I'm a Penn State fan, a Penn State alumni, which I am, this better not have happened. Like you can't just say, there's no way it happened. You want to know if it happened or not, because you don't want that in your football program. It comes down to what kind of a football program do you want? And I think, generally speaking, I've heard a lot of complaints, and this is maybe off the topic a little bit, heard a lot of complaints over the last couple of weeks since the Indiana game about the turnover greeting card on the sideline. Heard a lot of complaints about C.J. Thorpe, you know, with the taunting last week. You know, and I think, you know, there's a certain element of the Penn State fan who still believes, you know, let's do it the right way. We want to win, but we want to win with honor, for, you know, just to take their phrase. And we want to be the kind of program that rises above all of that you see in other places. But it doesn't wash with me when you just dismiss Isaiah Humphries. And I'm not saying he's telling the truth, and I'm not saying he's lying, because we don't know, we may never know. But you want to get to the bottom of this. You want to know what's going on in your program. You want to know what you're dealing with, because that's the one thing. I mean, I took from Sandusky is, in a lot of ways, you don't know what's happening behind closed doors. A lot of the Sandusky allegations happened when I was a student at Penn State and used to jog around, you know, up near the stadium, up near the Jordan Center, up near. Yeah, and back down toward the Lash building. And the first thing I thought of was, man, that happened right under my nose, too. I mean, it was probably 100 feet away from me, you know, when that stuff was going on, and I didn't know. And I think as a fan, you should want to know. Now, will you ever know? Maybe not. But this whole idea that, you know, he's definitely lying. Look at all the people who says he's lying. Well, those people have something to gain by saying that, too. And I'm not saying they're lying. But you have to look at the whole picture. You have to look at Humphries as a victim with a story to tell. I mean, what does he have to gain by doing this? Is it a financial gain, I guess? But, you know, I don't know why you put your reputation through something like that if you don't believe some of it's true. But, you know, I don't know. And I know I'm rambling here. And it's hard not to ramble on this because I have a lot of strong feelings about it. But I think at the end of the day, you should want to know whether this is true or not. And I think just dismissing it as, there's no way this happened, is kind of akin to saying, I really don't want to know. And I don't think that's acceptable.
I
think that you have to get some kind of resolution here, but I don't think we'll ever get it.
There's a lot of excellent points you made there. I mean, really, you just went through bullet points of 10, 12 different things that are all very important. Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. I just want to close with this because about 24 hours from now, it's 3:35, so basically 24 hours from now, Penn State's going to play a football game. I've made the point, Donnie, that these players they've dealt with one distraction after another. This whole season has been a distraction. Now they wake up this morning, they see all this. I'm guessing their phones are all blowing up from friends, family, people around the country saying, hey, what do you know? What can you tell me? Did this happen? What do you think? Did Franklin do this? What about Parsons? What about Humphreys? Is he telling the truth? My guess is these guys are dealing with that stuff all day. Can they possibly be ready to play a football game fully 100% focused the way that they need to tomorrow?
You know what? I'm going to say something that's probably a bit naive, but I think they can. I've seen it happen, not to a degree like this, where you have, where you have allegations of this, heavy nature. But I've covered a lot of teams that have faced controversy, that have faced, bad things that have happened, and then they've gone out and dealt with it, and that's their sanctuary. And I think, part of it is, Humphreys isn't there. Micah's not there. Barber's not there. James is, but James is always. I think they so badly need to win. And this is a game I think that's winnable for them. The styles that these two teams play. I think Iowa's a much better matchup for them than these teams with the running quarterbacks and the guys that can make plays with their legs and their arm and things like that. So I think they'll be focused. I don't know if this is going to be a game where they're going to come in again, as they have before against Maryland, just not ready to play. I think they better be ready to play. I wouldn't blame them if they weren't, but I think they will be. I think they're a little more athletes are a little more resilient in situations like this, and I think we give them credit for. And we tend to overthink it sometimes. But I've seen baseball teams go out there, and play well with, under some kind of duress and controversy, and I've seen football teams do it. I thought, even going back to 2011, I thought Penn State, after the scandal hit against Nebraska, played as good a game as they possibly could have played, and I think the next year in 12 with O'Brien that first year, they went out and did things that nobody thought they were going to do.
Tremendous leadership on that team. That's why the 2012 team is so revered.
Yes.
Does this team have that?
This team have that leadership? Yeah. And I think that's really the question. I mean, and part of it is Franklin that leader? Could he rally them? Because look, you're in a situation now where one of your big leaders on the team might be on the bench to start the game tomorrow. And that's a whole different kind of story. And I'm talking about Clifford. So James has to really rally this team. The coaching staff has to. This is going to be a big deal for them. I think it's possible. Do I think that they will completely collapse? No. But could they? Yeah, I could see it. I could see this being something that happens like that. But it'll be a complete failure of leadership.
Thank you, buddy. Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Tremendous insight and analysis, man. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem, man.
I appreciate it.